Hosea chapter number 2, and tonight looking at the first 5 verses of this great book of the Bible, in the book of Hosea, God commissioning a prophet to preach to a nation that has fallen into spiritual idolatry. And he's going to use the experience of the man in his own life to reach a nation with the gospel and the need to return back. And in this chapter, we will find the consequences of spiritual adultery. Now, the nation of Israel will commit spiritual adultery against their God. And by the way, they think they are doing what is right for them. But they will meet with great consequences. But I want you to understand, the thing underlying this whole book is God still loves His people. Amen. You'll see that throughout this whole book. I mean, God's a God of judgment, and God's going to chastise His people. And God will chastise you and I if we decide we want to just go off and do whatever and live however. God will chastise you. Amen. And He should. And that's how He straightens us out and how He gets us back on the right path. But let's look at these first 5 verses tonight in Hosea chapter number 2. Bible says, "Say ye unto your brethren, Ammi, and to your sisters, Ruhamah, plead with your mother, plead, for she is not my wife, neither am I her husband. Let her therefore put away her whoredoms out of her sight and her adulteries from between her breasts, lest I strip her naked and set her as in the day that she was born, and make her as a wilderness, and set her like a dry land, and slay her with thirst. And I will not have mercy upon her children, for they be the children of whoredoms. For their mother hath played the harlot. She that conceived them hath done shamefully. For she said, I will go after my lovers that give me my bread and my water, my wool and my flax, mine oil and my drink." Now, because God loves us does not mean, I told you, He will not chastise us. He will, because He loves us. Now we see here, Gomer will commit adultery against her husband. And I firmly believe that right here is where you get this adultery to come into play in the Word of God. I still stand on the fact that she was pure when she got married. She was still, because now we see this coming to play. And the nation of Israel, the book of Jeremiah tells us in Jeremiah chapter 2 that the nation of Israel was a pure, blessed nation. But the nation of Israel committed adultery. They committed spiritual adultery. Now, she will commit adultery against her husband, Hosea, because she felt that others had more to offer her than her husband did. Now, that's exactly what the nation of Israel was doing, wasn't it? Now, she thought the grass was greener on the other side. A lot of people today has made the mistake by thinking the grass is greener on the other side. Satan so many times can paint you a picture that looks so good and so beautiful. And we can easily get caught up in what he is showing us. Let me tell you something. Satan never shows you the destructive side of anything. Amen. He'll show you the prettiest picture you ever seen. He'll talk the greatest tune and sing the greatest tune you ever heard. But he'll cover up the dark side until you're in the mist. Amen? You see, Satan real quickly can get to your senses and real quickly can get to your emotions and make you think that life is better over here than what I've got. But what Satan's not showing you is that over here, behind the curtain of beauty, is damnation, is falsehood, is falling apart, the family falling apart. Satan will never show you those things, but he'll show you the good things. When behind the good things is all kind of bad. Amen. And many people today have been fooled by the pretty pictures that the devil paints for them. And they fall trapped to it. Let me tell you what, don't ever think that he cannot convince you. He can and will convince you that His way is right, but you must remember this, He is the great counterfeiter. Amen? I've told you, if He's talking to you, He's lying to you. Amen? Because He counterfeits everything. He will never show you the dark side until it's too late. He will never show you the end of the road. He'll never show you the destruction, the depression, the loneliness, and even the death that His way can cause. I'm going to tell you, folks, today, the devil's way is causing a lot of deaths. A lot of deaths that should never happen. Gomer thought she could find satisfaction in other lovers. And we'll see that a little bit later. Israel thought they could find satisfaction in other gods. But it just does not work. In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 14 and 15. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. Listen, we need not be in the pathway of the wicked. Well, there's no good in it. But if we are determined, you know, some of us are hard-headed. Amen. And many of us think, now listen, I know what's best for me. I've even had people say, preacher, you leave me alone. I know what's best for me. I don't need you. I don't need God to tell me what's best for me. I got good sense. I know what's going on. Let me tell you what, that's the voice of a fool. Because you and I have no idea. We cannot stand against the wiles of the devil without we go God's way. Amen. But if you are determined to go the way of the world and listen to the lies of the devil, then God will allow us to do so. Amen? God will allow you to do so, but He will make your way miserable. Amen? I've learned a lot. I've run a lot of people say, preacher, I'm miserable. I'm having a hard time. I'm just not happy. I can't be happy. And you know what? They've decided they want to go their way. You don't see them come to church anymore. They decided they got other things to do. We'll just do other things. We'll stay out of church. And they're miserable. They're unhappy. You see, they tried their way and it didn't work. Let me tell you, God's way works and God's way brings joy to your heart. But if you want to go that way, go ahead. Report back a little later and tell us how it's going. Amen. Because I guarantee you, it's not going good. But that's what Israel's doing. That's what Gomer's doing. You see, they just thought it was better over here. And we thought we could just mix them together. A lot of the world today trying to mix God with the world. You know, we'll play church a while, and we'll go to church a while, but I'm going to go over here and do this a while. It doesn't work. It does not work. You'll be miserable. Bible tells us in Psalm 106, verse 15, and He gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. Amen? Now, I want you to look at these verses tonight. Verse number one, there is still hope with God. Now, notice here, notice the names here, how they've been changed here in verse 1 of chapter 2. It talks about the grace of God. Really, verse 1 went with the verses at the end of chapter 1. But look what it says. Say ye unto your brethren, Ammi, and to your sisters, Rahumah. Now, you remember, when the children were named, what was in front of those names? Lo. You know what that word lo meant? It meant no. You see, if you remember the meanings of their names, when you drop that lo, it changes the whole entire meaning of that name. Because with the lo gone, it changes the meaning. Ammi now means my people, and Rahumah means my loved ones. Before it meant you're not my people, you're not my loved ones, you don't belong to me. But now He's dropped that and He says you are my people and you are my loved ones. Even though God's people were away from Him and out of His will, He is telling Hosea that the day will come that my people will return, and when they do return, I will be there to forgive. Amen. You see, that's the kind of God you and I serve today. When we make dumb choices and do dumb things, amen, He's still there to forgive, He loves us. Amen. He loves his people. Now, this is God's promise to his people. He is a God of grace and mercy. The Bible tells us, and you know it, in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to what? Forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know what? You know one thing I think God already knew? That you and I were going to be sinners. Amen. And we were going to need help. And there were going to be times when we come to the crossroad that we didn't choose the right fork. Amen. There was going to have to be times of judgment. There was going to have to be times of whipping. But at the end, his grace is sufficient. Amen. And so, I think of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 3 and verse 22 says, "Return, you backsliding children, and I will heal your backslidings. Behold, we come unto thee, for thou art the Lord our God." Look here, later on in Hosea, over in the 14th chapter, in verse 4, he said, "I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from him." And then Isaiah 55 and verse 7, "Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." Amen. You see, that's the God we serve. He's not talking about being deserving of any of this, is he? Because none of us are, none of us ever will be deserving of God's grace. He loves us. Let me tell you something tonight. If you've been knocked down by Satan and sin, let me tell you what you do. You get back up. Amen. God knows where you are, and he knows what you need. So get up. Don't go the way of the world. People get mad sometimes, and they get knocked down by the world. And by the way, if you live long enough, the world will knock you down. Amen. Man will disappoint you. They'll knock you down. But God will never knock you down. And I'm going to tell you what, if the world's knocked you down and if man has disappointed you and knocked you down, get back up. God knows where you are. God knows what you need. And God will carry you through. Don't depend on man to carry you. Depend on God, because God's got big old arms and he's strong and he can carry us all the way through. Problem with much of our world today, they think it's better over here. Oh, this looks better. Oh, this side looks good. I'm going to go over here. You see, but looking good doesn't always mean it's good. Amen? Most of the time it ain't. If you get out of the will of God, I guarantee it ain't. You see, and that's the problem with Israel. Israel thought they could get something out of these gods they were serving. Gomer thought she could get something out of these lovers as she went after. And we'll see that here in just a minute in verse 4. But you see, got to understand, we cannot put confidence in what man's doing. Amen. But you can put total confidence in the Word of God. And so you get on board the Word of God. And get behind the Word of God. Amen. Get behind. Let me tell you something. You ought to be behind every Bible preaching preacher in the world. Amen. We should be. There's a lot of them, they ain't preaching the Bible. Some of them preaching nonsense. Some of them preaching stuff I don't even understand. Well, it don't take much to confuse this old boy. But anyway, I'm going to tell you, stay in the Word of God. It's never been wrong, and it never will be wrong. It's pretty simple, really. God knows where you are. And let's look at verse number 2 now in our text tonight. "Plead with your mother, plead, for she is not my wife, neither am I her husband. Let her therefore put away her whoredoms out of her side and her adulteries from between her breasts." Here we have the adultery taking place, and the husband, Hosea, is pleading with the children to call their mother. Hey, go get your mother. Plead with your mother. Tell your mother to come home where she belongs. Children, go. Plead. Plead with your mother. Now, what does that word plead mean? That word plead means to contend, argue, strive, whatever you got to do. You go out there and you get your mother and get her back where she belongs. Hey, I think sometimes that's the way God is with us. Hey, go get my children and get them back here where they belong. Amen. Plead with your mother. When we go astray, God is pleading for us to come home where we belong. Amen. You see, we're to beg. We should beg, really, to get our people back where they belong. And that's what Hosea is saying. Go beg to your mother. Go beg to her. You see, I have no doubt that Hosea had a great love for Gomer. He had a great love for Gomer. We see him going and pleading her to come home. God had a great love for the nation of Israel. Still does. Still does. Isaiah 1:18, the Bible says, "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Hosea said, notice what Hosea said, "This is not my wife, nor am I her husband." You see what has happened? This is not the woman that Hosea married. It's not the woman that Hosea married. She has become someone else. You see, she has sinned. It must be dealt with. And the nation of Israel has sinned, and God must deal with them. You see, God is grieved over sin. Amen. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 13. The Bible says, "For my people hath committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and have hewn them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water." You see, he's talking about the spiritual adultery of the nation of Israel. Isaiah 63 and 10. "But they rebelled and vexed his Holy Spirit. Therefore he was turned to be their enemy, and he fought against them." Now, I wonder today, as I thought on this message, I wonder today, just as Hosea was grieved over his wife and God was grieved over a nation, I wonder today if God is grieved over America. Think about that. The nation who he so blessed. Nation who he so helped. Nation at one time, his name shone in lights. Amen? I wonder if God is grieved over our nation today. God will chastise a nation. Amen. I'm afraid we begin to see the effects of some of that in our nation now. When we decide we don't need God, we made a foolish mistake. The nation of Israel decided they didn't need God, and they made a foolish mistake. Gomer had decided she no longer needed Hosea. She could get what she needed everywhere else. She made a horrible mistake. But I'm so glad today God still loves. We'd be in trouble if he didn't. Let's look at verse 3 and 4. "Lest I strip her naked and set her as in the day that she was born, and make her as a wilderness, and set her like a dry land, and slay her with thirst. And I will not have mercy upon her children, for they be the children of whoredoms." Now, we have here in these two verses the consequences of sin. Without repentance, they would go back to the day they were born, helpless and naked. Amen. Today, folks, without God's help, you and I are helpless. You know, little babies, when they are born, they come into this world naked. They come into this world helpless. Amen. Somebody's got to pick them up. Somebody's got to move them. Somebody's got to dress them. Somebody's got to clean them. Amen. You know what that means? Without God, that's exactly the way the nation of Israel is. Without God, that's the way America is. Helpless and naked. Sinful living has consequences. And the Lord gave a clear picture of what will happen to Israel if they refuse to come back to him. They would become dry and barren and helpless. We know that this eventually is what happens. Hosea will see it in his day. That eventually what happens to Israel is they'll be taken captive into Assyrian captivity. You see, They'll become helpless. They'll become dry. They'll become barren. Same thing that he's saying about Gomer. She'll become dry. She'll become helpless. She'll become barren. You see, in the Old Testament, if you read the Old Testament, people caught in adultery were often killed. It was punishable by death. Well, Leviticus chapter 20 and verse 10. And the man that committeth adultery with another man's wife, even he that committeth adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death. And then Deuteronomy 22 and 22. If a man be found lying with a woman married to an husband, then they shall both of them die, both the man that lay with the woman and the woman. So shalt thou put away evil from Israel. It was a punishable crime. Amen. Sinful living can be harsh and hard. Amen. But Satan never shows you that, does he? Satan never shows you the harsh and hard side. He never shows you the lonely side. It will leave you thirsty, hungry, and empty. You see, that's what he's saying here in this verse about Gomer, which, of course, you know, Gomer represents the nation of Israel. That they're going to end up hungry, thirsty, and empty. I wonder today how so many people can live and not know the Lord. Especially wonder how people that once enjoyed the presence of the Lord no longer seem to want it. I don't understand that. Because you have to be thirsty and hungry and empty. Amen. Because I know how the presence of the Lord fills me up day by day. And you know that, how the Lord fills you up day by day. Verse 4, we see the suffering of the children. The children will not be blessed as long as this sin remains. You see, Gomer's children and the children of Israel will suffer unless there is repentance. Maybe through the suffering of the children, it will bring the mother back where she belongs. Maybe the suffering of the nation's children will bring the mother nation back where she belongs. I think it's going to take suffering in our nation. You know, I was thinking about our nation today, and I remember when the events of 9/11 took place. You remember that? You remember that? What happened immediately after that? Churches filled up. People began praying. People began calling out to God. You see, the children began to suffer. I'm afraid it's going to take suffering before God's children wake up. Amen? Before we wake up, and that's what he's saying here, you're going to have to wake up your mother. It's going to come through the suffering of the children. You see, it's sad that it has to come to that. But you see, don't think for a minute God won't bring suffering upon the children to straighten out the mother. Amen? Talking about the nation of Israel. Talking about America as a nation. You see, God does what God has to do. Amen? And he shouldn't have to do it. We as children of God should be right where God wants us to be. And we should stay there. But you see, so many times in situations of sin, it is the children that are affected. You ever notice that? Whether it be in adultery, whether it be in abuse, whether it be in divorce, it affects more than one. Amen. Sin affects more than one. Sin affects all around. It causes problems all around. But God is talking about bringing a nation back where they belong. Verse number 5. And it shall come to pass at that day. No, I'm sorry, it's the wrong chapter. Chapter 2. For their mother hath played the harlot. She hath conceived them. She that conceived them had done shamefully. For she said, I will go after my lovers that give me my bread and my water, my wool, my flax, mine oil, and my drink. Verse 5, here we see Gomer trying to reason out the purpose for her adultery. She had needs in her life, and she thought it could come better from other lovers more than from her husband. You see, Israel thought they could get what they needed from all gods, including Jehovah. You see, they wanted to mix Jehovah in as it was convenient. Amen. Doesn't work. Doesn't work. They failed to realize that God can provide all the things that are needed. Hosea could provide for Gomer all she needed. But she failed to see that. The nation of Israel failed to see that God is all they needed. America fails to see that God is all we need today to supply everything we need to make it through this old troublesome world. We don't need the gods of the world. We just need Jehovah God on our side and stay on His side. He can provide everything we need. People are failing to see that. You see, we must realize today that God can and will us give us everything we need. The Bible tells us that. We need not go looking everywhere else. We need to get our hearts in tune with God. Look at the feelings of Gomer and Israel here. Number one, they had no feelings about their sin. In other words, they gave no thought or simply did not care what it would do to the one that loved them. I don't think Gomer gave any thought to what this would do to her husband, Hosea. Israel gave no thought what their spiritual adultery would do to God. Today, you and I, when it comes to sin, do we ever give thought what our sin does to our Heavenly Father? What it does to Him. They had reasoned in their mind that what they were doing was okay. So many times people will reason their sin to the point that they think they are doing what is best. But it is a lie. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 14:12, there is a way which seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Romans 12:2, you know this, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Second of all, they had no feelings or gave no thought to what they were going after. They had no care that the things of the world would only bring heartache and trouble. You see, you notice in that verse the things that Gomer went after. Notice what she went after here. She went after bread and water, wool and flax as clothing, oil and drink. She went after the things that were provisions. Today, so many people are desperately seeking things that is only causing problems. You know what? People today will give up family. They'll give up reputation. They'll even give up friends for the things of this old world. I've known people that has completely forsaken their families. I think I'm losing this thing. They have completely forsaken their families for the things of the world. They've completely turned away from people. But God challenges us today to seek Him first. Listen, if we would seek God first, He's promised to add the rest of these things to us. Amen. He has. Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Matthew 11:28, He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And Isaiah 55, verse 6 and 7, He said, seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near, and let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. You see. We don't need to seek it anywhere else. Thirdly, they had the wrong feelings about their possessions. To think that the world has our best in their hearts is a lie of the devil. Gomer had all she needed at home. Now, I don't read this in the scripture, but I believe that Hosea loved Gomer. I believe he did. I believe we have evidence of that in verse 2 when he's pleading for her to come home. Amen. I believe he loved Gomer, and I believe he would have gave Gomer everything she needed, especially the things that she went after. Amen. You see, she had everything she had at home. Israel had a God that would provide them all they needed. There is no need today, folks, to go to the world. No need to go to other lovers, for everything we need can be found at home. Amen. Everything we need can be found at home. We find it in our God. Paul said it in Philippians, didn't he? But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22 and 23. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Amen. Great is thy faithfulness. Today, God provides all we need. We need not go looking elsewhere, for God is faithful to his people. Today, we see a husband pleading to his wife. We see children pleading to their mother to come home where you belong. God is pleading to a nation to get back where you belong. He was doing that in Israel's day. I believe he's doing it in our day. Amen. Get back where you belong. These lovers, these things of the world cannot offer you what you need. They'll only offer you heartache and hurt and troubles and fear. They cannot offer you what you need. We see a husband pleading for his wife, begging for his wife. Today, God begs for his people. You know what? God, you know how God begs you and I today? Through his word. So many times in a word, we hear God saying, if my people, and my people, God is crying out to his people to get to business, to get down on their knees. Listen, God's still the same God. He has never changed. You and I still got the power to call God down. And I'll tell you, we still got the power to make a change in things. Amen. But somehow, many people seem to think the grass is greener on the other side. That's a lie of the devil. It got Gomer in trouble. It got a nation in trouble. It's getting another nation in trouble. The nation that we live in ourselves today. Amen. Spiritual adultery never wins. We must stay faithful to God. Amen. Gary, let's sing Great is Thy Faithfulness tonight, because the Lord is faithful. If you're here tonight and you need to pray, I invite you to come and pray. If you're here tonight and lost, we invite you to get saved and get to know this great God that we serve tonight. Let's stand together and sing Great is Thy Faithfulness.